August is one of the busiest months for childhood immunizations as kids prepare to head back to school. To learn more about which shots are required, I'm joined now by Dr. Joel Tomlinson, Medical Director for Child and Adolescent Health at the Arkansas Department of Health. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
You bet.
So there are immunizations that your child is required to have before they can go into school in Arkansas. So the first thing I want to know is, who decides what those rules are? Because we're dealing with the Department of Health, but also the Department of Education. So do you guys work together? Like, what does that process look like?
So the vaccines that are required for admission to school in Arkansas are decided by the Board of Health, technically. That's who establishes the rules. That's who was given the power by the legislature to implement the rules around which vaccines are required for schools. The Department of Health obviously advises the Board of Health, but it's ultimately the Board of Health that decides. And you'll see they're pretty much exactly in line with what the ACIP, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, recommends as age-appropriate vaccinations. And so those are, by and large, what you see in those ones which are required.
Are there any specific rules or laws that govern how and which vaccines are required for school? Because I imagine decades ago, my mom didn't get the vaccines that I got when I went to school. And I'm sure my nephew is not getting, I mean, there are probably new vaccines that my nephew's going to get before he starts school. So what is the process like there for when a new vaccine is developed and then required?
So basically, I'm not sure the particulars in the statute of how they do that, but basically, it would have to be taken before the Board of Health to be considered whether it's justified. Usually that's going to be, okay, the ACIP and the CDC have now recommended this new or newer version of this vaccine to be what is required, to be recommended with age-appropriate vaccination. That affects what we would have, you know, required for schools in the past, and we recommend this adjustment. And then the Board of Health would debate it and decide if they adopt that change as a rule under law.
So today we have a number of vaccines that are approved that folks have to get before they go to school. What are some of those? So if I have somebody who's getting ready to start kindergarten, what are some of those vaccines that they need to have before they get started?
Yeah, and kindergarten is really the main kind of starting point there. The ones after that, there's a few differences, but that's really kind of the catch one where you make sure the kids are up to date. So to start kindergarten, you have to have 3 doses of polio, 4 doses of DTaP, that's diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, 2 doses of MMR, that's measles, mumps, and rubella. You have to have 3 doses of hepatitis B. Now, keep in mind, those 3 doses of hepatitis B are generally given before the first year of age. One's given in the hospital, and then you get them follow up at 2, and then maybe 4 or 6 months after that. 1 dose of hepatitis A vaccine, and then 2 doses of varicella vaccine. And they also accept if there's been a healthcare provider diagnosed case of chickenpox that's documented in their vaccine record, that's acceptable as well. Not because some kids might get a case before they were fully vaccinated, or maybe they were born out of the country. And so by the time they moved in here, we're back, because varicella vaccine is available in most countries, but not all. And so some kids might have had a case of varicella before they were able to get vaccinated for it. And those are the ones that are required for kindergarten. As children age beyond that, those same ones stay in place. Let's say you entered a school at 3rd grade. They check and make sure you'd had those age-appropriate vaccinations. But also, as children are entering the 7th grade, it's 1 dose of the meningococcal vaccine. And then by age 16, 2 doses. Or if you didn't have one earlier, 1 will suffice if you got it at age 16.
And how do parents keep track of that and then prove that their child has been vaccinated? When I was growing up, I know my mom had this yellow card that had all of our things on it. And I wasn't sure if that's still what people do now, or maybe it's digitized now.
Yeah, the yellow cards are still around. And if you got it, keep it, because that's easy to have on hand. But you can get a printout on a sheet from the state vaccine database. Basically, part of that same law that requires them in schools requires healthcare providers to input them into our state immunization database, WebIZ, And those providers have access to that. So they can actually print out copies for their patients. Those can also be, people can also get copies of their vaccine record from any local health unit. And even we have sometimes people come here and get them at the main office here in Little Rock on Markham. So they can even be emailed to people. We just have to confirm that you're really the guardian or parent for the underage minor.
We're talking a lot about what's required. There are, of course, exemptions for religion, medical reasons, philosophical reasons. But in general, from a medical perspective, what is the idea behind having all these kids getting these shots before they go to school?
Well, the idea is that some of these diseases are really nasty, and we do not want kids getting them. You know, some of these things we've kind of forgotten about because we've never seen them in our lifetime. Measles, you know, rubella, diphtheria. These aren't things we hear about anymore. And rarely do physicians even see them in the last 20, 30 years. So they're a little forgotten about, but they're forgotten about because the vaccines have made them go away or almost go away, where they're very, very rare. And we want to keep that from happening. To also keep in mind is that not just the health risk to the children that could be passed in a school setting, right? But also the effect it can have on their educational advancement, right? If we get a major outbreak of some of these things in a classroom, we might have to, you know, due to exposures, et cetera, a la with COVID. But imagine that for 8 different other things, if they were really happening at once, there'd be a lot of kids out of school missing education that they need and all the services that schools provide. So it's a dual purpose to prevent disease for the individual, but also that allows better education on a continuous basis for children.
Last summer, I remember hearing doctors start to talk about, and I think Dr. Romero was one of them, how there were fewer children getting their regular vaccinations. You know, parents were just keeping them home. They were just avoiding the doctor altogether. Is that continuing now as the pandemic has continued another year?
That is improving, actually, Antoinette. It certainly was a very big problem summertime, even early fall last year. But, you know, lots of pediatricians noticed, lots of family physicians noticed, CDC, other organizations really put out the alarm. You know, early on, parents were scared. They didn't want to take anybody to the doctor's office. They thought they were going to get sick. People were staying home much more. But that was one of the unintended consequences. There has been a significant catch-up. There was actually even a significant catch-up at the end of last year. The numbers looked much, much worse. If you compared where the number of those required or age-appropriate vaccines given at the midpoint of 2020 compared to the midpoint of 2019, way behind. It was not quite 50% behind, but close there. It was pretty significant. But by the end of the year, doctors and clinics had done a great job of getting those kids back in and getting them caught up on vaccines. Lots more vaccines were given in the second half of 2020. It didn't catch up kind of toward the numbers of 2019, but it was not nearly as bad as we expected it to be. And then in 2021, we only have numbers right now through June, but the numbers through June look like if we doubled those, they would be better than all of 2020's numbers. And the other dynamic here is that just because it's always this way, if you look, the highest number for vaccinations for children, the highest month for number of vaccinations for children is August and then September. When I was looking at that, it was like, yeah, even in 2019, that's good because that's human nature. Oh, I've got to get my kid back to school. Oh, shoot, we're not up to date on our vaccines. You go see your doctor and your kid gets their vaccines that they need. And so lots more doses are done. I'd say 20, 25% more are done in August than any other month. We haven't hit August yet. So we'll probably even get more of a boost from that.
So if I get to August, September, as is human nature, and I realize, oh, shoot, I need to get these for my kid. Is it difficult to make an appointment?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, lots and lots of doctors are doing back to school exams and things like that at this time of year because everyone's remembering, you know, I know lots of clinics even, you know, they know that from history. So they set aside extra slots for well child visits during this time of year. You know, if you get your vaccines or need to get your vaccines at the Department of Health, the local health, remember that's always an option. And you can do that. You just set up an appointment. We continue to give childhood vaccines, not just COVID vaccines, and have been doing so throughout the pandemic. You know, I think it's great that we're talking about this because we've forgotten about things like polio to some extent, and we've been able to mostly forget about them because of the vaccines for these diseases that are in the normal childhood vaccination schedule work. But, you know, those are diseases we don't wish on anybody. Just to emphasize, for example, hepatitis A, we continue to have, you know, outbreaks here and there that pop up, and they're on an ongoing basis here in Arkansas since 2018 and nationwide. It's been more of a problem. And so making sure kids are vaccinated for that one in particular really might hit home to people that have remembered those cases in all kinds of different areas in Arkansas. So just an example of one of the diseases we vaccinate for that we don't often think of, but we should continue to think of. And if you don't want to think about them, I'd say continue to get your kids vaccinated for them, and yourself, if you're not vaccinated for them, to prevent them from affecting your family.
Well, Dr. Tumlinson, thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
More information is available by searching for immunizations on the Arkansas Department of Health's website. That's healthy.arkansas.gov.